Hey there, everyone. Jeremy here. Really quick, before we start the episode, just a few things I wanted to say quick. First, it's crazy what's going on out there with the corona epidemic, and we just really hope that everyone out there is just being as safe and as cautious as humanly possible. If you think you're being as clean as you can be, find a way to up your cleanliness another 10% or so. We are all in this together, and we all have to do what we can to stop this from spreading. It only takes one person not doing what they need to do, so please keep washing those hands. Don't touch your face. I'm not going to sit here and preach to you. You know what you've been told to do and not to do. So please just abide by those rules. If you think you're sick, please stay quarantined. We just wish everyone the very best. We know we have listeners all over the world, and I have to imagine that some of you guys have, if you're not infected yourself, have people in your vicinity infected. So please, again, just take care of everyone around you and yourselves. I'm bringing you another episode this week, so those of you who are in quarantine have just a little something extra to listen to this week. I know it's not much, but hey, it's better than nothing. And what we're bringing you is one of our burner episodes. For our listeners who might not know, a burner episode is an episode we record when we just have some extra time on our hands, and we just keep it in the bag for if we have to take a week off or something. We can't be in the studio. We just grab it out and put it out so you guys aren't left empty-handed. And what we have today is the very, very late review of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker review that Jack and I did. And I decided it'd be a good time to release it right now with the Blu-ray coming out March 31st, and I believe it's already out digitally. They pushed it out early for people who are again in quarantine, so that was really cool of them to do. And I guess now would be the only other time we could really post a Rise of Skywalker review and have it have any relevance, I believe. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Another thing really quick, I have gone and gotten a phone line for the show. So if you guys wanted to call in and leave a message, we're not probably going to answer it. It's probably just going to go straight to voicemail. But if you guys wanted to call in and say, hey, what's up? Had any ideas for the show? Anything for that matter. You can call us at 614-254-3332. And again, just leave that message and we'll either respond to you or put your voicemail on the show. Just anything you want to say at all. No restrictions. We can't wait to hear from you. We have a lot of ghost listeners out there. We can see your numbers. You're listening. We want to hear from you. So again, call that number, 614-254-3332, and let us know what you want to hear. And if we get enough responses, we'll do a special episode based just on your responses. So please don't hesitate to give us a ring. Being that this is a bonus episode this week, this is not going to be the third week of our residency with the band Atomera. So that's going to continue in our next week's episode. So I believe that's really all I wanted to say to you guys. Again, stay safe out there. Look out for yourselves. Look out for each other. And enjoy the episode.
Hi there, this is Mike Quinn, Nine Numb from Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, and The Last Jedi. You're listening to Canned Air Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And if you're hearing this, this means we probably took the week off, or we couldn't record for some reason. Maybe the White Death is all over the over the ground out there, whatever it may be. This is a burner episode. And I'm excited to do this one, because this is long overdue.
Long overdue, yeah. And a month or over a month long.
Well over, yeah, yeah, for sure. We should have done this, because with Force Awakens and Last Jedi, we were on it. Mm-hmm. We were on it, especially with Last Jedi. We were there to bitch, weren't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, for some reason, I guess that's just a testament to what Disney has kind of done to Star Wars, shoving it down our throat and up our ass. You know, we kind of get sick of it. So I guess that's why we didn't rush to doing our Rise of Skywalker review. But here we are. And, you know, Randy couldn't make it tonight. He's not feeling well, which is probably better because he refuses to see the movie.
He will not go see it. Did you see it, Randy?
fuck that movie.
Silence. Yeah. I get it, though. He's a busy guy. He's got kids. He's got a full-time job and helping get the TorgCon put together.
Yeah.
Busy guy. So I get it. I get it. Those are long-ass movies, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're going to be talking about it right here, right now, for your enjoyment. And I'd say by now, I mean, we're going to still sound the spoiler alarm, but come on.
You've had your time.
Come on. If you're a Star Wars fan worth your salt.
If you're on social media, then you've already had the whole movie given to you pretty much, I guess, probably.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of memes have been coming out.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, let's just jump right into it then, Jack. Where do we start? What did you think overall? What did you think of it?
I loved it.
Yeah, I was pretty darn pleased with it. Mm-hmm. Definitely had its problems, for sure. What would you say, strong points? What'd you like?
I think all the fan service and stuff, all the comebacks cool. at the end that but, reminded you, know, you of the whole...
It should have been that the whole time, you know? And I think, you know, Force Awakens definitely had its fan service in it, too. But, yeah, I mean, this was overcompensation to a point. But I'm not complaining, you know.
No.
Every bit of it was awesome.
It brought all of it back together, pretty much, I guess. Which, that's what it should do at the end, anyway.
Yeah, they really tried to just wipe Last Jedi completely out. Except for they kept talking about, or they didn't keep talking about, but... Dominic Monaghan, you know, he had a cameo in the movie. He was one of the hobbits in Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
He was one of the rebel people that was hanging out with Leia. He got a few quick cameos in there, but he said something like, "We ought to pull a Holdo," you know,
the Holdo maneuver.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Poe said something about that too.
Like, that was a one in a million. It was kind of corny, but. Yeah, I mean, again, over the top fan service, but I loved every bit of it.
Yeah.
When Wedge showed up.
Oh, I was in my little kid mode, I think. Because I always loved, even though he had not really a big part, he was in every one of them.
Yeah.
And he was a big part of what was going on at the time, too.
So. Sure. What were your grievances? Any?
Who was Mrs. Palpatine? That had the kid.
Yeah, that's kind of disturbing to think about, right?
That in the family timeline, like it went so fast that I didn't really catch. Well, I was like, well, who was his mom, or who was her dad? Which was, of course, Palpatine's son. Which
right?
Who the hell was he too? And just like the whole family, because he was just like, your grandfather's uncle's mother was my mother, uncle, father. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Okay, I get that she's a Palpatine, but that whole explanation kind of went over my head.
The more disturbing thing was to think that Palpatine just had kids, especially more than likely, you know, he's in the original trilogy reign. You know what I mean? That's when it had to have been, right?
I would, yeah. Yeah, it would have had to, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Before he got all...
I mean, it has to be one of those things where somebody's coming in unwilling, I would imagine. They're like, bring me someone to fuck. You know?
It's like a Monica Lewinsky type thing.
Rather than him falling in love, he's far too self-absorbed and
there's no way
into himself to fall in love with anyone.
Even when he was younger, he always had to have probably been... That little twisted evilness to him, because that's why he was who he was.
Remember the movie Taken? I think there was a scene where there was Liam Neeson's almost to his daughter at the end of the film, and they were on some boat or some gangster's boat. I don't know what it was, but there was this like great big slobby, disgusting guy in a bed just waiting for a girl to be brought.
Like wearing
to
a fez or something like that.
Something like that. I can't remember, but I just imagine it that kind of a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's even thinking that Palpatine still has urges.
Yeah,
it's kind of disturbing. Evil kind of should leave that behind, I would think. But
you would have thought so, yeah, because. Well, most of the time, anyone that's super evil, that's always just what their driving force is world domination or power. So,
you know, I don't know if it's considered like official canon or not, but in the comics, they have kind of made it that Palpatine was responsible for placing Anakin in Shmi Skywalker.
Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe it could have been that kind of a thing where he just kind of placed it with future plans to use the child. You know what I mean?
This woman's sleeping.
This will be my future, honey. Yeah. This woman's sleeping. Oh, all right. Well, I've got a list here of a few things that I loved and a few things that kind of upset me. Knowing when this movie was coming out that we were going to get fan service, you know, we could see in the trailer we're going to get a lot of fan service here. I was hoping R2-D2 would have a bigger role, and it just didn't happen. He was in it. He was just hanging around with Leia.
Yeah, I can't recall him really doing much at all in the whole show.
He was in the beginning, like when they got that transmission, right in the very beginning when it first shows the Falcon pulling up and the guy like lowers the cable down into the Falcon. Remember what I'm talking about? Yeah. He's there because he's the one that takes the transmission. But after that, he's just chilling back at a Rebel base out in the woods there with Leia and all them.
He's just an old obsolete droid.
He's just like Last Jedi was just a quick cameo. And yeah, he wasn't even in
The Force Awakens
until
at the
very
end.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I get it. They have BB-8 they're pushing now and stuff, but
they had to get Dio in there.
Did they? I like Dio. Don't get me
he
wrong.
He was neat, yeah.
He was cool. I like how, you know, when she went to, like, touch him for the first time, he's like, no, thank you, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, backed off, implying that he had been abused or something before, that they can actually, droids can actually carry that kind of, they're not just machines, they have feelings and shit, you know what I mean? But he was a cool little character, and, you know, in the story became influential, but... What else? One thing I loved was that this was Chewie's movie in a sense.
Yeah.
His and C-3PO. I love that they got spotlights on them.
Mm-hmm.
3PO had me laughing. He was dropping lines that sounded like stuff that would have been in the original trilogy, you know?
It wasn't as bad as the original trilogy when... Oh, what was he? Oh, this is such a drag when he's getting his head dragged by R2 with the droid armory after his head.
Oh, you're talking
off
the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
No, those were corny.
Yeah, I couldn't stand him in those ones.
Like when they landed on that planet where Luke had been searching for that Sith holocron or whatever it was, the Wayfinder. And when they get there, that festival just happens to be going on once every 42 years.
Yeah.
3PO's like... Just our luck, you know, it happens only once every 40, and everyone turns and looks at him, and he just kind of turns around awkwardly. It was so funny.
Well, I know what it's saying, but I'm not allowed to say it. It gets my programming.
Yeah.
It's just that little bit of frustration that he's
always offers.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And another joke that he said that was so funny was after his mind wipe, after they got the transmission out of him. When he first comes back, the first character he meets is that Babu Fink, that little tiny thing that rewired him. And just a few minutes, I don't know, like maybe 30 minutes to an hour later in the film, someone says, "We need Babu Frank." And 3PO's like, "Oh, he's one of my oldest friends." I had that. That had me laughing. So I enjoyed 3PO.
I was glad that wasn't his end.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid that was going to be it.
Yeah, I don't know. A part of me kind of, it would have been more of an emotional pull. It would have left more of an impact. It was too easy how they just got back to base at the end and R2 rebooted him, you know? But even that was kind of funny. He's like, "I'm going off on a mission with Rey." And they're like, "You've already done it." Say what? But then Chewie.
Yep.
Damn. Finally. Where to begin with that? You know, first his supposed death, you know, that
I could not believe it when she lightning that thing and it blew up. And when they made you think that he was in it.
Yeah.
I mean, they all thought so.
Yeah. And like a part of me was like, no way. How could they so unceremoniously kill him?
Yeah.
But obviously they didn't. And so when they are rescuing him, one of the first things that was so impactful was when they rush into the room, he at them and they look at him like, "Of course we would come for you."
Yeah.
Like he was assuming like he was dispensable, like they were just going to let him go. So his surprise there, that was awesome to see. When Leia died, his reaction was priceless.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's when the tears started rolling for me in that one.
Because the camera pans way out. But if you keep paying attention to him, he like falls to his knees and he like stretches his arms out through the grass. And he's like just looking around for like nothing. He's like in such distress.
The only bad part about that is when Han died, he just kind of raged out a little bit. It didn't seem like it was that impactful for him.
But it was a different setting. He was in the middle of a battle, you know what I mean?
Well, that's true.
Stormtroopers everywhere with Kylo Ren, but...
Maybe I was just expecting him to berserker out and just start tearing people yeah. apart and destroying stuff.
That would have been awesome to see him just go primal. Wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Throwing them just left and right. But that just was a tearjerker. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the medal at the end.
Yeah.
Given to him by Maz Kanata. That was so awesome because just the look in his eyes, you could see like it meant something to him. Mm-hmm. How many years have fans bitched about why didn't Chewie get a medal?
Always questioned that, even when I was little.
Yeah, like what is he? Just their dog then?
Just because he's the sidekick, he doesn't get one?
Right. So he was there for the whole thing. He did just as much as any of them did, if not more. But it was so awesome to see that come together, see his expression. And then like, as the camera pans out at the end, like he's showing it off to people yeah. and stuff. It's, I just was so happy to see a light shone on Chewie
yeah.
as such. I think he deserved that.
When we got in the car after the movie, I was still kind of choked up a little bit just because of the whole ending and stuff. And me and Misty were sitting in the car talking about it. And I almost couldn't hold it together because I was like, Chewie got his medal. And she's like, I don't know what that means. I was like, oh my God.
You're walking home.
Get out now.
Yeah, it was definitely a tear-jerking moment for sure. And that was, I wonder, was that Han's medal?
Yeah, as far as I know, it was, yeah.
Because that's what Leia, when...
She was holding that when she laid down to channel into
yes.
Kylo, yeah. Which I didn't catch that. Someone was telling me about that when yes. we were talking about it at work.
So that's even more impactful. You know, not only does he finally get his medal, it's also, you know, the medal of his best friend.
Right.
So even more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even seeing Harrison Ford's cameo was like, damn, that knocked me on my ass. Was yeah, not I did expecting not,
yeah,
that.
I had no idea. And all of a sudden, hey, kid. I was like, what?
You've got to be shitting me. Yeah. Because, you know, how diehard was he about not coming
being
back?
In there and like, he's still
I'll
in the
only do
one.
The first one if you kill him, finally. Yeah.
I had a guy at work was talking. He enjoys the movies. He doesn't know a lot. Like, he doesn't follow a lot of the old stories mm-hmm. and stuff, like the comics. Not that I ever read all the comics and stuff, but just knowing more of the history and stuff about everything. He's like, so what was that? I mean, how does Kylo Ren all of a sudden, or why can Han Solo show up as a Force ghost? I'm like, he wasn't really. It was more of just a mind thing in Kylo Ren's head is what I could
yeah.
understand it to be.
I equate it to that scene in Man of Steel where he comes across Kevin Costner stacking rocks like in the middle of nowhere
yeah.
and talks to him, gives him words of inspiration. And then when he turns around, he's just gone. You
yeah.
know, just like, you know, somebody well enough, even if they're not there, you know what they would say kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's the way I took it anyway.
Yeah,
I never once
here.
Took it as a Force ghost. No. If he was a Force ghost, he'd be blue and glowing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought Luke's Force ghost looked kind of weird, personally. I
yeah.
mean, his hair's still growing, like, even as a ghost. Like, I don't know. But
the fact that Force ghosts can pick stuff up now, was kind of weird, too.
Oh, how he caught the saber
yeah.
again? Yeah, that was kind of corny. But, it was really corny, that whole thing with him walking slowly out of the fire with the saber.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I thought that kind of stupid of Rey's character, you know, as to have flown to that island to cut herself off after finding out she's a Palpatine.
Yep.
You know, after she had seen what a bad idea that was for him. One cameo that I guess still kind of happened in a stupid way, but I wish would have really seen full fruition was Hayden Christensen.
He did make a cameo?
Just his voice was
okay.
like, get up, Ray, or
yeah.
whatever, like in the very end when she's hearing all the voices. It was in there, but, you know, it was rumored that he was actually going to be in it, and supposedly there might even be cut footage of it. I don't know.
Hmm.
The Abrams cut, or whatever everyone's saying now.
Jeez.
I know. I fucking know. Same thing with Justice League. Like, how could it really be
matter.
That much
yeah,
better?
It can't be that much better.
There's no way it's improving
no.
it that much. Give me a break. But anyway, what about you? Anything else before we move on in those fronts?
Was the whole Dark Rey thing really that big of a deal?
What do you mean? As far as
I mean, it was just, I guess it was just kind of like the Luke thing where he saw the other side of himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that's all it was. after seeing that in the trailer and everyone was freaking out.
I knew it was going to be something like that. Yeah. I was like, there's no way Disney's going to make their little princess turn bad. There's no way. No way. That kind of brings me to another thing that I don't know how is resonating with me. I didn't mind when I saw it too much, but the more I think about it, it kind of irks me. Is at the very end, I love when she goes back to the Lars homestead that's been abandoned, and she's looking around. And the way she buries the sabers there, that's, I thought that so cool. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, who are you, Rey? Who? And she says, you know, she sees Luke and Leia's ghost in the dust, and then she says, Rey Skywalker. I don't know how I feel about that.
Same here. I was...
You're not a Skywalker.
Yeah. When she said that, I was just like, what?
She should have just, you know, been proud of who she is, knowing that, you know, it doesn't... Just because you have a name doesn't mean you're destined to do evil, you know?
I'm a mononym. Like, Cher.
I mean... I guess if you're, you know, if you had the last name Hitler, you know, and you wanted to choose something else, I guess I can see that, but I don't know. She's not blood, you know?
It'd have probably been felt better if she said Solo. Maybe, I think.
It just would have, I don't know. I just would have liked to heard her say Palpatine. Like, and even what a cool message, like, that I'm surprised Disney didn't even try to jump on. Just be proud of who you are. You know, you can change
actually,
who you are.
Yeah, be proud that's a of good who thing. You are. Good idea, yeah.
Instead of running from it and just, oh, I'm not them. I'm this person.
I'm just going to hide my real identity for the rest of my life.
But again,
the heroes.
I mean, Palpatine in the Star Wars universe probably rings like Hitler does here. So I get it, I guess.
Yeah, if I ever met somewhat. Anyone. What's your name, Jason? Jason what? Hitler? Okay.
Okay. Let's see, what else have we got here?
How'd you feel about Rose?
I thought she was done eloquently this time. You know, I would have never had a problem with her the first time. It's just what they did with her. They gave her one, a whole outfit and haircut that just looked fucking derpy as shit, man. Those big swoopy bangs, that big fucking tan, like, Ghostbuster jumpsuit. Yeah, yeah. Like, why? I don't understand this. Not that she needs to be... She looked really good in this movie, I thought. I thought all the Rebels did. They had a very, like a 1940s pilot kind of a look to them. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know. And like when they first introduced her in Last Jedi, she was like sobbing and like had snot running out of her nose. Like, oh, God, you know, it just wasn't a good first impression or lasting. And then she just got fucking preachy through the movie, which, you know, everyone lit her up and it's not her fault.
No.
She's just doing a script. You want to be in Star Wars? Fuck yeah. Who would say no? Who would say no? But yeah, I thought she was done well.
The only, I think, complaint I might have, which it, I guess I really still don't care about, was her whole love thing with Finn. That just got kind of swept by the wayside. I guess maybe they dated for a while and broke up.
Well, I think that was just a result of bad reception from the character.
Yeah.
You know, I had heard a rumor that it was in talks that at the very end of this movie, they had considered Finn and Poe kissing.
No.
There's nothing, not that there's anything wrong with
this,
but I mean, we've already established that Finn had interest in, well, that's not true. I don't know. I just wouldn't have, I don't have a problem with the homosexuality in the Star Wars universe. Not at all.
No.
It just would have been,
it would have been weird. Maybe, I don't know, if it wasn't one of the main characters, I guess. I don't know. But at the same time, I don't care. That's just like at the very end, the big kiss from the two people in the big pile of rebels that are standing there, the two women kiss.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't think it would have made any difference on my impression of the characters at all. I love both those characters.
They always seemed close and super chummy anyway. I mean...
I really liked how, yeah, and I really liked how they were spatting in this movie. You know, when he's like, Finn said something about Leia would do this, and he goes, well, I'm not Leia. And he's like, yeah, that's for damn sure. And walks away. Like, I just love their back and forth in this movie.
Weren't they arguing back? Why you got to talk to her? Why can't you say something when he had to tell Rey something or something like that? Weren't they going back and forth about that too?
Yeah. And that's another thing. Whatever he was going to tell her right before their supposed death, they never let that loose. They never said what it was.
I had read a little after the show came out that Abrams was saying, because it was like, what was Finn trying to say to Rey? That he came out and confirmed that he wanted to tell Rey that he thinks he was force sensitive, which makes sense because towards the end of the movie, he started feeling a lot more.
Yeah. Well, why would that be such a big secret?
It's such a weird thing. Yeah.
To wait till you're dying.
I'm like you.
It's like, why are you telling me now? We could have honed this. Now we're dead. But yeah, because like when he just had a feeling that that ship was the one that had the tower that they were looking to destroy on it. But yeah, and I really enjoyed Poe in this movie more so than in any of the other ones. I thought he was he was spot on. Like all the characters seemed spot on.
They actually it was like they finally got everyone at the end pretty much to fit the way that they should have been the whole
time. It's been a process of development apparently. You know what I mean?
Which in the first Star Wars, well, episode 4, you knew who each person was and by the end of the movie. It was only a movie. Yeah. Hour and a half for you to figure out like who everybody was.
Yeah.
But that there was only really four people, not a whole bunch of people. Like main names and stars in the story.
Yeah, I like that they I understand in those prequel trilogy the cast had to be enormous because they're telling a huge story.
Yeah.
You know, you have to see how all this came to be. But, you know, I like there being like a core group of heroes instead of just, you know, a whole army of Jedi. And, you know what I mean?
I liked in this how everyone stayed together the whole movie. There wasn't different stories branched off between everyone splitting up. They were all together the whole time.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Shoot, I think all the other ones, except for episode, well, I'm not really counting the prequels, but episode 4, they were pretty much together the whole time.
They made a good point on Tell 'Em Steve Dave that these movies had the opportunity to put Luke, Leia, Han, and Chewie back in that cockpit one more time and didn't do it. Maybe that had been too easy. Maybe it would have been too much fan service.
It might have been too much. I was going to say that.
But at the same, put them in like each other's vicinity at some point. You know what I mean?
Get them all together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least once. I don't know. Maybe it had been over the top. I don't know. All right. Well, what about the force powers getting a little fucking crazy?
Where you can pass stuff back and forth between each other?
You know, and I know they're trying to explain why Rey is so powerful and shit. Well, because she's a Palpatine. Now all this over-the-top stuff is supposed to make sense. But I still feel like liberties being taken with the fucking Force. You know, like even in Force Awakens, like being able to stop bolts, you know, laser bolts in the air.
It was cool to watch.
Yeah, like mind reading minds. I don't, you know, was that something that's ever...
No, I didn't like that one. When they had her in the interrogation, because Darth Vader had been able to do that with Princess Leia in episode 4.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Instead, they had a droid come over and give her a shot, or try to give her a shot, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, when that came around, I was like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other things. Just like the Force healing, like she stabbed him through and just healed it up. Like, all right, you cool. And then just takes off, you know, healed that big beast.
I did see something about that Force healing. That was in episode 7 when Luke got beat down by the Tusken Raiders. When Obi-Wan came over and chased him away and then put his hand down on his forehead.
Oh, in episode 4.
Yeah, he could have been healing him.
Or just reading his mind.
Stretch.
Could have been.
Well, I was like, that makes sense. I guess it may have been around for a while, but still.
Another thing is... you know, it seemed like a big deal. If you follow the Clone Wars into Revenge of the Sith, you learn that it's that time period that Force ghosts are just starting to become knowledge and be known.
Yeah.
You know, Qui-Gon then starts speaking to Yoda, and Yoda went on a whole journey trying to figure out how to communicate with him. And then at the end of Revenge of the Sith, it tells him, well, I've figured it out and I'll teach you how to do it.
Right.
And now Force ghosts are just all over the goddamn place.
Yeah, Leia turned into one.
Luke had no problem seeing Obi-Wan, had no, I don't know, some of the rules with the Force gets so, so freaking loose here. Being able to, just like bridging of the minds and stuff. So How about Palpatine's lightning when he took down the whole fleet, shooting it into the air?
That shit was insane.
That was over the top.
Yeah, it was. I was looked like, amazing in 3D.
Oh. He looked awesome.
Yeah, he did.
He looked awesome.
Just more decrepit and old and creepy. His eyes were all whited out like they were dead eyes. Yeah, he looked... And getting wheeled around on that crane...
Oh, that thing was cool.
Because I was like, how the hell is he moving around? He just shows up out of nowhere. But then it was that big arm just hanging him there. I was like, oh, Jesus.
It's creepy, isn't it? Yeah, it's for sure creepy. No, he looked sick. He looked awesome. And I just loved his back and forth with Kylo at the very beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
At last. That was so awesome. My boy, I created.
It was so creepy. Snake. You almost feel that on the inside as soon as you hear his voice.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities. Like, and then when Kylo, when he finally shows himself and Kylo, like, has a saber right in his face and he just sits there smiling, like, not intimidated in the slightest. Yeah. I guess, what can you give me?
Everything.
Oh, it was so awesome. Chills all through my body.
With fan service when Luke lifted the X-Wing out of the water.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Cool.
And yeah, I had forgotten about that moment for a split second, because when they're like Rebel Base, they're like, we have an X-Wing coming in. It's Luke Skywalker's. And they're like, wait, what? It's like, huh? But then I remembered, oh, wait, she has it.
It was great because it was the same music from Empire Strikes Back.
Was it?
The ship was floating. Yeah. Because I had such chills from that. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, you're right. Again.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Came full circle, didn't it?
It's amazing. It still drove after all these years sitting in the water.
These spaceships are resilient as fuck, even in their worst states.
What did you think about the rando light speed hopping that Poe was doing in the beginning? That shit was insane. It was almost too insane, though.
As many close calls as they had, it seemed like... Yeah. I mean... Why not? I guess if you know they can track you through light speed. What a crazy chase, right?
Yeah,
man,
that it was kind of weird. I guess the Empire, New Order, they kind of upgraded their technology because TIE fighters never had hyperdrives in the old ones.
Oh, really?
In, yeah,
yeah, because they could get too far from
home base. Episode 4 when they saw that first one flying to the Death Star when they flew up on, they're like, it must be a long. That's not a long range fighter.
Yeah, you're right.
That and playing video games when I was a kid that had specs like all the ships.
Yeah.
I remember it didn't have those. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a lot has changed. A lot of technology has advanced quite a bit in the land of advanced technology, it would seem. How about the death of Palpatine? What do you think about this?
When did how did they kill him?
He had sucked the life force from both of them and regained his full... body back, which somehow came with a full wardrobe too, it seemed. But he then threw Kylo down the pit and left her laying there for some reason. I don't know why he wouldn't have done the same with her. He didn't need her at that point. He was restored. But she got up after hearing everything, got the saber out, and was deflecting force lightning that he was shooting at her.
That's right.
Which seemed to be overpowering until she pulled out the second saber. Mm-hmm. And then that was enough to push it back at him. I'm thinking, what the fuck? What?
Yeah.
And so you just see, you know, obviously you see him being blown back and deteriorating kind of the same way Apocalypse did in Age of Apocalypse movie or X-Men Apocalypse, whatever it was called. And
didn't he just like disintegrate at the end? And
yeah, it just makes one think, why wouldn't you just stop shooting the fucking lightning if it's coming at you? You know, but I came up with a theory for this, because when you think back, let's think back to the confrontation with Mace Windu and Palpatine. He's shooting the lightning at him.
He was doing the same thing, deflecting it back at him.
And it's fucking him up, but he's not stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I mean, Mace has him at bay. So why isn't he stopping? It's fucking him up. And to the point where he deforms himself. In that same movie later, when he and Yoda are fighting on the floating pods, he's shooting the lightning at Yoda, and Yoda's kind of catching it with the Force and starting to, like, I don't know what he's, like, building, like a Hadouken or what he's doing, but he's, like, catching it and starting to push it back. And you see this look of worry come over Palpatine's face, but he doesn't stop. He could have stopped and, you know, quit building Yoda's Hadouken there, but he kept going, even with a look of worry on his face. All right, let's jump to Return of the Jedi. At the very end, when he's electrocuting Luke, Vader picks him up and walks him over to the shaft and throws him.
He's still shooting it.
He's just looking up in the sky, his arms out like a fucking turtle on his back, but still shooting this lightning out even while he falls. And I say, people are like, okay, well, he's shooting it at Vader, but he's not even aiming for him.
No, he just got it out.
He's like stuck in the position he was when he was standing. So, thinking of all this stuff, it makes me think, like, the Force lightning thing is kind of like taking a piss. Like,
you can't stop it.
You can't stop midstream. You know, you gotta let it go all the way out before you're done. That's the only thing that makes sense in all these instances. Why he, every time he uses it, it's at his disadvantage.
Yeah, it's like it's a hard thing to shut off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my theory for it. That's the only thing that's making me swallow the ending of this movie, the way he died, because it just seems so corny. It seems so corny. The whole time I was thinking, how are they going to win? They can't win this. They're done. How could they possibly win? I think
it
was,
might have been just the last, well, it's, well, she'll just deflect it all, spit it back at him, and he won't be able to control it, and he'll blow up.
And he was also in this, like, this big Sith temple that was, like, full of, like, these Sith monks, like, thousands of these monks lining the wall. Why did none of these people ever intervene, or...
They just sit
they just kind of disperse. Oh, he's dead. We better go.
You know? Oh, no, what are you going to do? I don't know. You going to get a coffee?
All right. Guess we can go find someone else to worship. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But that was, I guess, that was my biggest thing. Like, that was my biggest thing, was his death. I wasn't keen on it. And this is my way of swallowing that salty pill. But that's about all I've got. What about you?
How about Lando? Good old Lando showing up.
Oh, yeah. That was a great cameo, wasn't it?
It was a great how he just appeared, because I had, was wondering, like, how are they going to get him back? He's just going to show up. Yeah, I'll do it, too.
Just hearing him say, "How are you, Chewbacca?" Like, I was beside myself. I loved it.
And I was waiting for the Colt 45 to come out at one point, too, because he still has that smoothness to him.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
We'll go fight the dark side with the Colt 45.
But, yeah, because he said his flying days were over, but then he ended up being in the Falcon. That was awesome. That was cool.
One thing with that, the one chick that started running around with Finn at the end that they found on that planet that used to be a trooper, too.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I think the First Order really only started hiring females as stormtroopers, because it seemed like a lot of stormtroopers had female voices in this movie.
Like, when really? I didn't even notice.
When they're on that, I want to say when they're on that planet where Poe saw his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember what her name was. I
went Zoe or Zori.
Zori, yeah. Which I want her figure when it comes out.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. Yeah.
But yeah, when they were sweeping the area, breaking in doors and stuff, I feel like I kept hearing a lot of female voices coming out of Stormtroopers.
Really? I'll have to pay attention. Yeah. I didn't notice.
And I was like, really? There's a lot of stuff. I mean, it makes sense. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it makes sense that there would be.
I don't know why those female stormtroopers don't have the cosplay uniforms with the breastplates that they show.
A little sexist, Drac.
Because those are hot, but...
Sexy yeah, troopers.
At the end when she was talking about not knowing her family or being taken for her family, and then Lando was like, "We should let's go and figure that out."
Now, did I hear that there was supposed to be like a Lando series?
Like, or is a TV series?
Yeah, or am I just thinking of the comic series?
I don't know that. It might have been a comic series. All right. But I think they were supposed to dive into that a little bit, and I almost want to say that he was going to be a parent. I'm your illegitimate father.
Like he was going to be her actual father?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was going to be found out. I guess they kind of left that out, or they were going to allude to it more in the movie, but they cut some of it out.
Small-ass galaxy.
Yeah, seriously. I think that's probably better... That just kind of left it out.
They put so much emphasis on that. I was wondering after I saw it. I was like, what are they doing? A spinoff on that or what? Because it really seemed like they were going to do something, didn't it? Maybe they'll just continue it in the comics, if nothing else. But who knows?
One Admiral Akbar's son was in the movie, if you didn't catch him.
Yeah.
Junior. Which it was after the fact. I was like, oh, that's why they're calling him Junior.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked like a tadpole, didn't he?
He did.
Tadpole stuffed in a suit.
And I missed Nine Numb. He wasn't in it.
Which he was.
Sucked. Was he?
He had a quick cameo at the end. One of the big ships that was going down, I believe, as a result of Palpatine's Force Lightning, as it grazes like past the screen. If you look in the windows, you can see him in one of them.
Was like he died?
Yeah.
I thought that's... I didn't read the clickbait articles, but yeah, this hero actually died.
Yeah.
That sucks.
He went down with that ship.
Yep. Or Mike Quinn.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Well, it's not like even if he lived, he wouldn't reprise the character again, right? Yeah, it's over. Yeah,
it's done.
Unless they did the Nine Numb series.
Unless he shows up in like the Obi-Wan series or something like that. Or
that'd be obscure as shit, wouldn't it?
Let's see, he's on Tatooine somewhere. What do you say? You're Nine Numb.
All right, you got anything else, Jack?
No, I think that's about it.
Overall, good movie.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I've watched it a few times on Kodi since I've seen it in the theater, and I've had a good time with it ever since.
I've been wanting to watch it, but I know Misty was getting burnt out on Star Wars after we saw the movie, and I was feeling bad because I know she was, and I was trying to lay it on heavy, weren't you? Oh, God, yeah. That's like for Christmas, I was all Star Wars I got. I started watching the other movies before we went and saw The Last Skywalker.
Yeah.
I think I got the new Star Wars video game that I was playing that pretty heavy for a while.
Oh, man, you were up its ass, weren't you? Wow. I forgot about that
game. Went to the Kokomo toy store and got tons of Star Wars figures. Oh, my God.
Boy, you really put her through the ringer.
Mm-hmm. She was getting me all the stuff.
Well,
look, I got you this one. I got you this one. Look, I got you this X-Wing pilot's helmet.
Come with me to the toy store. Well, I think with all that having been said, Jack, what have we got on the website?
Go to cannedairpodcast.com where you see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media. Become a patron, buy some merch, and see some of our YouTube videos. And if you want to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and Instagram at Canned_Air. If you want to become a patron, want to show some support, and get some extra content for doing so, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod, where you, for $5 a month, can become a patron and get access to the Canned Air Patreon pod. It posts once a month, but it's been up there over 2 years, so you've got a couple years of content waiting on you. 27 episodes, I believe, are up there now. So,
geez.
And more to come. So look for that. And don't forget to check out our other show, What If, at whatifpod.com, Jack, is that right?
Yes.
And yep. Or just search What If series on your podcast player of choice, or if you search Canned Air Productions, you'll get both that and this show. But on that show, me, Jack, and our other friend Ryan Little, we look at twists on reality, and we look at things like what if weather could be controlled? What if Bigfoot had actually been discovered? What if the Earth were flat? And we talked for about 40 minutes on what the world would be like if this little twist on reality were actually so. So check that out. And anything else, Jack?
The Cuyahoga Valley Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, we are on there. I don't know how long we've been on there now by the time this episode airs, but we definitely are. So check that out.
9 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Catch up on some old episodes.
There you go. Syndication.
Yeah.
You're syndicated. How about that?
How about that?
Success. Now we just need to get paid for it.
Yep.
All right, I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Are mean, so I'm running away from home.
Where you gotta go?
I don't know yet, but that'll show them.
It sure will.
Shipwreck!
Parents just don't understand, and it gets lonely on the road, so be sure to listen to the Canned Air podcast.
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.